back, WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively on the road. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. We'll be giving these away here at Pappas, one of our great sponsors. It's our 25th anniversary, and our friends at Window Nation. I'm going to wear the funny hat, the 86690 Nation, the Window Nation floppy. This feels like the end of summer. This is like a summer hat, and we are at the end of summer, a little Labor Day weekend here, getting ready for football. And I've had a bunch of the county executives on. We had Johnny O join us over at Drug City for the beginning of the 25th anniversary. Also had Calvin Ball on down in Mako. Saw this guy at Mako a little bit, but we already had the standing date, right? Because I was trying to get down here to Pappas. I had not been to the Pappas and Glen Burnie. I haven't done the show down here yet. And I said, I'm going to target that, try to have you here and be a part of this. And today's our day. How are you, Stuart Pittman?
I'm glad you got me here. Here we are at the bar having a good time. And I don't know why you get to wear the hat and not me, but...
I will let you wear the fun hat if you want. I am going to give you one of the lottery tickets as part of all this.
Absolutely.
I mean, state employees, we had everybody together. The Mako thing, when Don Moeller and I got together to kind of start the podcast a couple years ago, it was before COVID, and he's like, yeah, you got to get down to Mako, you got to get down to Mako. So I went down to Mako a couple, 3 years ago, and I go with Bill Cole and his little mafia, and we run around parties and all that stuff, and I ran into you a couple different times. It's the wildest gathering, not just a business and politics, but just the people around the state and gathering that we have a place like Ocean City where you can all be on the coastal highway and literally rub elbows with everybody from the governor down to anybody doing business with the state. It's a really cool place.
Yeah, it is. And when you just go to the parties, you see one side of it. But I'm on the board of directors, and it's a cool organization because it is the leaders of county government. That's where I think the rubber meets the road, where a lot of the work gets done. And you know, if you look at the counties in Maryland, Central Maryland's Democrats, the rest of Maryland's Republicans. There are more Republican counties than there are Democrat counties. So it's a real mix. And on our board, it's a real mix. And it's amazing how much everybody has in common. It's one of the most bipartisan organizations I've ever been a part of. And so a lot of good work gets done in the sessions. But then we go out in the evening and... everybody who wants to influence what local government is doing, and the state government is there as well, is there. So you got everything from lobbyists to nonprofit organizations that are trying to get things done. And it's really a good time.
Well, even the convention floor is just a scene. You know, just seeing people and people coming through and causes and obviously business and political, like all of that's going on. But for the last time I saw you, I've done this crab cake tour, right? You were one of the first... crab cakes we did. We did you at G&M, which is still in Anne Arundel County, almost. Yeah. Like, sort of, I couldn't believe it was in Anne Arundel County. It brought you up there. But since then, I've gone west several times, east several times. I've had crab cakes in every county. In the last 2 Augusts, I did 30 crab cakes in 30 days 2 years ago, 31 last year, including your county. I still got to get down to Edgewater and a few places in your county.
We got some good ones down in
And
South
I've had
county.
Some good ones at Boathouse and a bunch of other places. Seeing the you said the center's Democratic and the two wings, Eastern Shore and Western Maryland, when you're in those environments, it is very bubbly. You know what I mean? Like that you're not around other people to hear the other side. I don't think that's a problem on Ritchie Highway, right? You know, everybody, we mix and mingle enough here. If you don't agree, you don't agree. But I do think that gathering in Ocean City and that gathering part where I get to know Carl Anderton, right, and from Wicomico County, who comes on the show. And I hear concerns that, even as a Democrat, and I'm registered, we all know that, that I can hear that and say, I understand your point of view. And that's something that there needs to be a discussion from both sides. And I know you've had a lot of that in Anne Arundel County, right?
Yeah, well, Anne Arundel County, I kind of like to think of us as a microcosm of the country. We're purple. We got urban, we got rural, we got suburban, we got Annapolis, we got new development out in West County. So we are everything, all crammed into one county, 590,000, almost 600,000 people now in the center.
Are you a growing county still?
Yeah.
So you're going to go over six.
Yeah. We're at 590 something.
Okay.
And actually, they just added a few thousand because when they did the census, they didn't include the Naval Academy, and now they have included it.
So that's part of America, last I checked. Yes.
Yeah. So, that's important in this day and age. And, local government, you know what it is. It's the police department, the fire department, you know, it's supporting the school system, it's public works, it's all of the things, the institutions of local government, regardless of party, people care about. They want the work to get done at the local level. When you start talking federal, you know, you start to get a whole different spin on it. But, and that's why, you know, I think a lot of people, If I wanted to run for office in on the Eastern Shore, I'd have to register as a Republican. In Anne Arundel County, I actually looked into registering as an independent because I thought that would be cool not to have a box around me. But people tend to go with what they need to be in order to be a public servant sometimes.
I ask this sort of this blanket question to start. What's on your desk today? I mean, you know, I remember getting together with you. It was the beginning of before the plague. I was with Barry Glassman the day that the plague landed. Mm-hmm. Like that his phone was blowing up. We were together over at State Fair that morning, not knowing at all what anybody was getting into. I had you on prior to that. I would think during that period of time, and I actually had you on Zoom during that, and that was all like batting it down the hatches, safety, all of. But what's on your desk today? And obviously, being second elected, this is, as anybody would say, this is a chance to get done whatever you really wanted to get done the first time, right? To finish whatever it is you started.
Yeah. I mean, today I was meeting with the Caucus of African American Leaders. We meet quarterly. We were talking about a task force we had just done on trying to increase minority recruitment in the fire department and government contracts, minority contracts throughout the county. And then as I was driving here, I was on the phone talking to somebody about a meeting that we have with Farm Bureau on Thursday where we've purchased a grain elevator to try to save agriculture in southern Maryland. Purdue was selling their grain elevator, the place where the farmers take their crops, and we worked with the state to purchase that so that we could keep it open, and now we're trying to get an operator. So you know, that's something that's one of the balls that's in the air. I mean, there's always 10 or 20 balls in the air, and that keeps the job interesting.
Well, Sewer Pittman's here, County Executive, Anne Arundel County. We're at Pappas in Glen Burnie. First time here. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery in conjunction with our friends at Window Nation. And trying to get out around the state a little bit, especially, after I wasn't sure COVID's over, I still elbow bumped you. I haven't touched you, right?
Haven't touched me.
plenty of people are in the bubble. I saw my son for the first time last night in 2 months. They got COVID. They didn't taste food for like 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's 2023, right? Yeah. But all of this, you think you're out of it, but the Mako thing for all the politicians this year, I'm sort of back on the trail to saying, all right, we have Democrat in office, mm-hmm. all of the red line stuff, all the stuff I heard from Larry Hogan in your county, in Annapolis. Mm-hmm. About 2 years ago, we went down and sat with the governor then. What are the changes that can get implemented county to county when, I don't say an agenda, but at least a platform that you run on and you say, well, things would be different if we have a Democrat in Annapolis for a Democratic county executive?
You know, I like Larry Hogan. I like him as a person. I live near him now. He moved into Davidsonville. But he ran as a Republican, a member of the Republican Party, on a platform that was very sort of the Reagan Republican agenda, which is that the private sector solves the problems and the public sector, the government, is the problem. That's sort of a theme. And nobody believes that completely. But I had the sense during that administration that people were put in charge of departments, cabinet secretaries, who might have been a political ally or coming out of the private sector and coming in and then running an agency and having never been in government.
Well, the Trump administration was.
Well, yeah. And I'm not saying that...
Well, he didn't inherit that. He was before that.
The Hogan cabinet had some good people in it. But... There were a lot of vacant positions by the time he was done. You know, shrinking government was a goal. Now we have a Democratic governor who is from the private sector. He's never been in politics. He's run businesses. He's worked on Wall Street. He knows how all that works. But at the same time, he sees these departments of county government as a way to help solve problems. And so one of the things I noticed at Mako when we went to the reception with all the cabinet secretaries was these folks are professionals. He hired people who were the best in their fields, and so that's been refreshing. So we've had a lot of meetings with cabinet secretaries. Jake Day, who's now housing community development, you know, we met with him in Glen Burnie. We've been working with the ag secretary on this grain elevator, and that to me is sort of refreshing that we've got people in government who want to use government to help solve problems. And so that's what we're trying to do, too. And we recognize we're not solving all the problems. The private sector is the backbone of our economy.
Well, we all pitch in a lot of money in our taxes to give you guys to solve problems, right?
Well, you know what's funny, though, is that at the same time, I almost said O'Malley, sorry.
That's all right. We're too gone. Westmore.
You know, Westmore got up in front of all these folks at the end of this conference, and I thought he was going to pat himself on the back and say, look, 7 months, here's all the great things we've done, because he's done some great things. But no, he said, look, man, we need discipline. We need fiscal discipline. We're going to have tough economic times ahead.
And it was like a Republican message.
Exactly.
Like when I heard
it.
Because I wasn't at it. I was driving home that day, and it popped up on my Twitter, and I'm like, the headline is Democratic governor, 7 months in, probably going to run for president. That's always the way this thing's couched, saying fiscal. And I'm thinking to myself, that's an interesting message, because I think Uncle Larry left a lot of money behind, or left a good situation behind for him.
Well, but everybody knew that there was a lot of federal money in that money, right? And then there were a lot of vacancies in state government, so money wasn't getting spent that was in the budget. So, there's a surplus, and that's great. And what Westmore is looking, over the next 4 years, the longer term, and what the economy might do, and he's saying fiscal discipline. And anybody with any brains is going to say fiscal discipline. You should have. I mean, I always brag about fiscal discipline. We got a AAA bond rating from all three agencies, a historic thing, a first time thing for.
I know you talked about that last time.
And how
important that is.
I say it was fiscal discipline. It was because we were very disciplined about how we do our budget. It's different, but it also shows that the political lines are blurred. You know, you can't put either Larry Hogan or Westmore in a box and say you're red, you're blue. And that's a good thing.
Well, and I think it speaks to the purple nature of getting elected here, right? I mean, you went through that in your county. You had one of the more contested elections that when you're in purple, a lot of it is about the basic lines of integrity. Has that person had any experience doing this? And then being an incumbent in the middle of a plague was not comfortable for anyone. Because you closed businesses, you angered people. Yeah. All of you did, right?
Yeah, and I don't think of it as being purple means you have to compromise. I fight like hell for everything I believe in.
Well, the plague wasn't blue or red.
Yeah.
I mean, the plague was, but I guess in some red quarters it wasn't a thing. And then there's the vaccines, which I know you guys fought.
It was a thing everywhere. You know, they thought it was going to be an urban thing, and then it turned out that the rural areas had the highest case numbers. So it was a thing everywhere. It was a question of how you looked at it. But
And I guess happy with how all that went from a manager.
No, it sucked.
But do you look back and have any?
Yeah.
Well, of course it sucked. Yeah, it sucked for everybody.
A lot of hard decisions that we knew, no matter what we did, people were going to die, businesses were going to be hurt. It was a pandemic, let's just hope it never gets that bad again.
Well, you're not thinking about electability at that point. You're thinking about doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, doing the right thing, it doesn't lead to electability when you're closing businesses for...
No, there's no good... There's
that
no
is
good,
a purple
there's
issue.
No good political path there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
For you, back to Mako a minute, just like ground that gets covered down there, and back to that moment where Westmore speaks about fiscal, were you a little shocked by it or by the media's treatment of it or how the message is received by people to say, are we shrinking up in Maryland all of a sudden? Because that wasn't a good message either.
Well, I was a little bit surprised as it started to come out during the speech, and but I was also glad because it's easy to come into office and promise a whole bunch of stuff and raise everybody's expectations. And this is not the first time he's talked about fiscal discipline either. It may be one of the times that more people listen because he really, really stressed it. I was really pleased, and I thought, okay, this guy's playing the long game. He's not looking for, tomorrow's success. He's not looking for a headline. He is setting us up. He's lowering our expectations so that he can deliver at a high level, I hope.
Well, when's the first time you met him? Because I met him, I don't know, six, seven years ago. He came out to the show. He was not running for office when I met him. I mean, there was no... I went back and watched it to say, he was robbing... I think Don and I thought he was going to run for mayor.
Some people wanted him to.
We thought, he'll sit on our show and he'll talk about living in Baltimore and being in Baltimore and had Odette on and he lives in her district. And I'm impressed by him more every day, but you're a sitting politician. He wasn't even thinking about being a politician when you, and you're a guy that not wasn't necessarily going to get into this line of work either.
I always thought running for office was selling out.
Because
I was an advocate from the outside, a community organizer. No, it was most of my life, and my wife always said she'd divorce me if I ran for office. That did change. She decided that it was okay. You know, she didn't divorce me. But
what was that moment
it was
that
never
changed
my
that?
Intention.
What changed that?
You know, I Well, Donald Trump getting elected made me feel like, hey, look, I thought that could send the country in a scary direction. That was my view of it.
You were right about that.
But I also thought, okay, here's a guy who comes from the outside. He didn't have any political experience, and then I knew that my own story, my own personal story. I spent a decade as a community organizer in Chicago and Iowa, and then came back home here to Anne Arundel County. And then I got involved with Farm Bureau and with environmental issues a little bit. And I was always politically engaged in my mind, but I was running the farm. I was a farmer, and I was training horses for a living for 25 years.
So I met you. People would say I met him in a tent at the Preakness a decade ago with Ross Petticord.
Yeah, I was president of the Maryland Horse Council probably at
the
time.
Yeah, and I had a conversation with you for 45 minutes before I realized you were the Anne Arundel County executive at that point, I think, just elected. But like 8 years, 7, 8 years, whatever it was, feels like it was before the plague.
Yeah.
It's sort of ADBC, before March of 2020.
Yeah.
But
I didn't think of myself as...
You were farmers.
I met you. Yeah, I didn't think of myself as that. I started a nonprofit organization after that. And you do things in your life that start to sort of to build your confidence and to help you figure out what you can do next. And I always feel like it's a path that you never know in advance what the path is, but you know when it's right and you get on it. And so I thought, maybe I have something to offer here in the local political arena. I didn't like the direction the county was going on development and some other things. Thought, well, I'll run for county council. It's a Republican district, but I know everybody. Maybe I can win even though I'm a Democrat. Decided to jump into that race, and nobody was running against the incumbent county executive, Steve Hsu. He was very well funded, and people thought of it as a Republican county. And a couple of people came to me and said, well, why don't you run for that instead of county council? And it took me a couple of months of pondering over it. And then I thought, you know what? There is a coalition to be built in this county that can win this election. And if I can build that coalition and work with people as an organizer like I used to do, we could pull this off. And that's what happened.
Well, I guess using all life experience to try to bring people together, that's kind of what drew me to Baltimore Positive when I had political, I don't see aspirations. I didn't like the city falling apart.
Yeah.
And I didn't like Trump getting elected either. Mm-hmm. And I didn't like what that meant for the city. So that's literally why you're sitting here right now. And I'm in a sports bar, not talking about the first place Orioles, the Lamar.
Yeah.
I mean, we can get to that later on. Cause I know
we can. Cause
well.
I
wrote a book on the Ravens here. And I'm a Ravens guy.
Hey, I'm ready. I think it's going to be a good year. But I do have to credit myself with, the Orioles, who I now know are Los Orioles. I sat next to a guy who had speak Spanish. Los Orioles son los mejores. That's a new chant. Los Orioles son los mejores. Are the best.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to use that.
Okay. And they had lost the night before to the Blue Jays, 6-3. And so I went to the game and I was doing the first pitch.
Well, they only lose
7-0,
twice a week.
And we won 7-0 as
right.
a result of that.
So you're 1-0 throwing out first pitches at Oriole games?
Yeah, they need me. Yeah.
Well, they might need you after Batista went down as well. County Executive Stuart Pittman out here. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation. He has threatened to wear the hat, 866-90-NATION. Labor Day weekend, it's 10% off more. I got to do this for Leonard Raskin because Pappas Restaurant, we're here in Glen Burnie. It's his favorite crab cake. He's up in the Cockeysville location. We now have a Bel Air location. We have the original Parkville location. But he gave me this crab mallet last year, and it's a really special crab mallet, the Raskin, because it has the beer bottle opener on the side of it.
Oh, yeah.
I have not christened this over Costas, but I shall at some point. Also, we're going to be at Fadley's on the 15th with Coppin State President Dr. Anthony Jenkins, as well as new Hoops head coach Larry Stewart, who is no stranger to this program from back when he played for Fang. So good things going on at Coppin. We'll be doing that September 15th at Fadley's, the F's of Fadley's in February. Stuart Pittman, County Executive here in Anne Arundel County. So back to Wes.
Well, let's talk about the
political diversion.
Yeah, yeah.
You stood me in Annapolis.
This is connected to Mako.
Okay.
And now
ahead.
I'm going to really upset anybody who knows me who works on my staff because I tend to embarrass people. But people were dancing at the end. There was a band there during the crab feast.
Great, great band. Classics.
Right.
And the band,
they started handing out tambourines and people had
Steve
tambourines.
Steve Port's the bass player. He's Anne Arundel County resident.
Yeah, yeah. Well, so my chief administrative officer was out there with tambourines and they were letting people sing and really get involved. And so I grabbed two of these and, man, you can make a lot of noise with two of these crab mallets. Hit them together.
There's going to be a picture of you looking like you're assaulting me on the video when this is all done. For Wes and for the changes and what he inherited and where we are in this federal money, It's ambitious, right? I mean, I guess you run for government, you want to be ambitious.
Mm-hmm.
First time you met him, because when I met him, I didn't see political aspirations. I saw, like, it was Christmas time. We sat, we had a meal with our family. I mean, it wasn't anything, and nobody, none of his people reached to me to campaign or this or that. He came on the show like anybody else. It's been a shocking sort of development, right? Mm. That a guy that polled at 1% winds up in this position and feels, at least 7 months in, pretty equipped to do this, right?
Absolutely, yeah. So when I first met him, he was planning to run. And
okay.
I was introduced to him for that. And it was on a Zoom meeting. I met him by Zoom. And
the way we met everybody.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I was impressed. You know, it was a conversation. You could tell this guy was really charismatic and all that good stuff. Then I went and I read all his books.
Okay.
And, yeah, all four I think there are. And
so you really gave him a shot right from go.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah. And I really liked what he wrote, and I liked his story. And then when I was really sold and I decided to endorse him very, very early on, he was polling at about 1%. I heard him speak in front of a group of mostly lobbyists at Harry Brown's on State Circle in Annapolis. It was kind of a small group at the bar. And he said that leave no one behind line. And I thought, oh, that's pretty radical stuff. I don't know what these guys are going to think about that. And then he said, it's what I learned in the Army, leading troops in Afghanistan. And I could feel my hair starting to stand up. Like, here was a message, and I could see it in the lobbyists, who are pretty hard to impress. And I thought, wow, you know, that worked. Like, you made leaving no one behind seem like a conservative value. Then I decided to endorse him because I felt as though this was somebody who could bring people together. And I'm always looking for a leader who can cut through the political BS.
Well, you were that guy. You tried to be that guy just in this county.
I try every day, yeah.
Well,
I
mean, but I don't have that
kind of talent, though.
You know, well, you were polling at 1%. Yeah. You were polling at 0% when your wife told you couldn't run.
So there is
that point where I go Tug McGraw. You got to believe, right?
Yeah.
Somebody... You have to believe in yourself to start with, because nobody rolls out of bed with money, a bankroll, an election committee, and that's. Yeah.
But you know what? You know what else I like? Two things. One is he had worked on Wall Street, and he doesn't talk about that a whole lot. But he worked on Wall Street as an investment banker during the 2008 meltdown. He saw it all happen in front of his very eyes. He understands how capitalism works. He understands how investment decisions get made. Then he went and he worked for the Robin Hood Foundation, right? Raising money and spending money in best practices to help communities that are got left behind completely during economic upswings.
The ultimate community organizer kind of role,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Literally.
And so to me, having the values of wanting to have a more equitable economy, which nobody can deny that over the last 40 years, income inequality has increased in this country drastically, drastically.
I think it's evident being my age. I'll be 55.
Yeah, yeah.
It's evident seeing the last 40 years, and not just being a guy from Dundalk who, you know, obviously Dundalk had its own challenges when the plant shut down, but every Dundalk in America, and being a guy who's been to 47 states and drives back roads and sees what it looks like away from the airport,
rural
away from
poverty
the city.
And urban poverty.
All the way around.
And then the wealth. And how, you know, even the pandemic, that people did really well who had money in the stock market, and people who did really well in certain industries. And then the tax cuts keep getting applied to the wealthiest. So the tax rates go down on the wealthiest, and the people at the bottom are still stuck, right? And then crime grows, and health issues and health disparities and all that. So we got work to do. We've got the great economic backbone in this country. We just have to make sure that we make that everybody benefits from it. And so I think that he has a good understanding on policy of things that can help to make that happen, at the same time as growing the economy so that the backbone is strong. And that to me is the magic formula.
So what the Crab Cake Tour is all about. We're down here in Glen Burnie. We are at Pappas, one of our great sponsors. We'll be back up in Cockeysville and Parkville and Bel Air at some point. But we're in Glen Burnie, Anne Arundel County, with Anne Arundel County Executive, the CE, Stuart Pittman, is coming up from, where's your office?
Down in Annapolis.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought it was, because you came up to G&M last time, but you spend most of the time down on the south end of this.
I live at the southern end. We're up at the north right now. We're a long, skinny county.
97, yeah. man. Just get on 97.
Right, all the way up to Baltimore, and we love Baltimore. We got a light rail that goes between us. We can talk about that if you want sometime.
Well, I got married in Glen Burnie, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do, let's see, police, crime, firefighters, back to school, Orioles, crab cakes. Can we do it? Can we fit all that in the next segment?
We got a lot to cover.
We do. County Executive Stuart Pittman here. It's all brought to you by our friends at the Maryland Lottery. I've been giving away these instant lottery scratch-offs. No $100 winners yet today, but we did want to have one at Coco's last month, so appreciative of that, and our friends at Window Nation. We're back for more in Glen Burnie and Pappas. I feel like Richard Sherrill square off with this thing. Okay, back for more right after that. Stay with us.
Sorry about that, everybody.